the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. Amen. We find ourselves already, dear friends, dear fathers, dear sisters, a time of preparation, as we know. Preparation to celebrate the Good Friday sacrifice of our Lord and his triumph by that sacrifice of charity on Easter Sunday. We might say then, given what we are preparing for, that Lent is a time for a special effort in charity. What good are our little fasts and sacrifices if we have not charity in our hearts? St. Paul says, if I should distribute all my goods to feed the poor, deliver my body to be burned, but have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity is firstly directed to God, but we cannot pretend to love God unless we love the souls that God loved enough to sacrifice his Son for. Love of neighbor, then, is conditioned for the love of God. St. John says, if any man say, I love God, and yet hate his neighbor, he is a liar. St. Teresa of the Child Jesus, if you want to know how well you love God, examine how well you love your neighbor. That charity for our neighbor is meant to extend to all. But there's the old saying, charity begins at home. What does it mean? Home. It means those who are in our immediate circles, those with whom we have special bonds, natural, supernatural. Obviously, in our immediate family, mother, father, brother, sister, husband, wife, parent, child, child, parent, natural bonds. Those bonds are meant to lead to an extra effort on our part for those souls. But we can take the same principle on the supernatural level to our spiritual family, our parish, those with whom we have special bonds as well, supernatural ones, of course. We share the same faith. We are soldiers in the same army of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are members of the same mystical body. We have in our soul, please God, sanctifying grace, which unites us to the God who is one. When we come to the communion rail, we receive our Lord. We profess publicly that we are united together to Jesus Christ. We also profess that we have his Spirit, which is one of charity. Charity is a question, if we want to make it as simple as we can, of two things: restraint and investment. It's firstly a question of restraint, necessary because whenever we have a family, however broad or narrow we define the term, we're going to have different kinds of people, different personalities, different tastes, desires, interests, different ways of looking at things, different ways of going about things, and different faults. If there's to be a spirit of unity in such diversity, it must be something that transcends all that. Only God does. Only his Spirit does. It requires of us, however, a constant effort. A constant effort to keep things in perspective. A constant effort to rise above our selfishness, our self. St. Vincent de Paul says that the unavoidable clashes, if you will, that we have with others are more from our own lack of mortification than from their faults. Sometimes it's a problem of selfish focus, my view, my opinion, my desires, my needs. Sometimes it's a question of a contradictory spirit. We're always ready to voice the contrary position. We're always ready to say, I told you so, in no uncertain terms. Be a question of harshness. Harshness of tone, harshness of spirit. That grates on those around us. Can be a question of pettiness. That willingness to point out every flaw and every fault. And to make it almost the whole picture. To sum them all up, what we would say is there's a critical spirit then, which certainly does no one any good and does much harm to everyone. The devil, of course, is behind it. His goal is to divide so we could conquer. He's always interested in keeping the old wars alive. He's always interested in keeping the old wounds fresh because he doesn't want a united army against him. So we, for our part, realizing how he works and realizing how we are, we have to make a major effort, an effort which, if you want to make it concrete, really comes down mostly to simply restraint of the tongue. If only we could control our tongues in our family, in our parish, in our workplace, in our school, what a different world those circles would be. Unfortunately, we probably lack the most restraint precisely in those worlds. The closer the world, the less the restraint. St. Francis de Sales said, too often, in the streets were angels, those that we pass, those that we meet in the marketplace, in the streets were angels, in the home, we're devils. We have his spirit. Strong words, and yet, St. James says in Scripture, behold how small a fire, how great a forest it kindles, and the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. We realize the harm we can do with our tongue, especially in today's world, with technology the way we have it. The phone, the internet, Facebook, so on. Frustration of a moment spreads like wildfire and leaves a devastation. We have to realize that those faults of charity, obviously, they bring down the whole spirit, but they can be grave. They can easily be grave. It's a question of who is harmed, and it's a question of how, to what extent. If we harm someone who has a special claim on our charity, mom, dad, father, priest, or we harm someone who has a special care for us, superior, well, then that's more grave than if we harm the person next door. And of course, that harm can go very far. It can destroy confidence. We can destroy any effort of collaboration. We can destroy reputations. Reputations of individuals. Passing on things that may be true or may not be true. Maybe we don't even know. Maybe we think they are. It doesn't matter. If they harm the reputation of someone in the measure that they do that, they're wrong. If they gravely harm his reputation, it's mortal sin. And the same thing applies to moral person. If we harm the reputation of a moral person, parish, for example, or a school, in the measure that we harm that reputation, in that measure, it's grave. So we need to have this restraint, because we all have our bad moments. We have to harness the tongue, or our fingers who speak for our tongue. Restraint then, but that's the negative side of charity. There's also the positive side, investment. We must be willing to invest in souls. I can't remember who it was that said, we must love souls, we must care about souls, because if we don't care about souls, we'll be hard-pressed to save our own. If we aren't willing to invest in souls, we won't invest in ours either. And we must invest in them. That means a sacrifice, an effort, reaching out beyond those that we normally collaborate with, have a relationship with. And again, I'm focusing particularly on our little everyday circle still. Family, school, classmates, workplace. How often we pass someone every day, there's no interaction, there's almost no acknowledgement, even in our homes. It's my little world, my focus, my favorites. It's not a Catholic spirit. Father Mateo sums up beautifully the Catholic spirit when he says, we are meant to be angels of others unhappier and more miserable than ourselves. But for that, we have to look at someone other than ourselves. And we have to be willing to invest, particularly in those we're not drawn to, we don't have a natural rapport with, or we have a hard time with. We have to be willing, out of charity, to care about their soul. It's easy to be charitable, the one we're drawn to. But our Lord said, do not even the heathens do such? What merit is there in that? None. The merit, the Christ-like charity, is when we are making an effort for one that we're not drawn to. That's when it's more divine. And the less we're drawn, or the less they're worthy of our effort, the more it's divine, the more it's like Christ. Of course, this applies in particular to our immediate family, our family as a whole. Our homes should not be hotels, restaurants, gas stations. Where I go, I get what I need, and I move on. They should be a place of shared vision, shared effort, mutual support, mutual encouragement, compassion, effort, help. It's a question of investment. It's a question of sacrifice. If our home is to become that, and yet that's what our homes are meant to be. That's what our families are meant to be. And we can apply the exact same principle to our parish. Our parish is our spiritual family. We have an obligation to have charity for our spiritual family. Love them with gratitude and loyalty to that family. The parish is not a bank. You go to a bank, you do your business, you go away, you have no affection for it, you have no loyalty to it. Somebody gives you a better deal, you go somewhere else. That's not a parish. That's not the spirit we are meant to have with our parish. The spirit sort of just give me my mass, give me my sacraments. I don't need parish life. I don't need parish activities. I don't want to be involved in parish life, parish activities. I don't want to have interaction with other people. Give me my sacraments and I will go. That's just not a Catholic spirit. And yet, in every parish I've been in, there's a portion of the parish that will tell you exactly that. And in some parishes, much more than others. And the measure that it's there, it's a weak parish. Whatever the numbers. So we have a duty to have affection, charity for our parish. And that means investing in our parish. Because we can't have a spirit of unity and charity unless we're sacrificing, making an effort, just like in our homes. That effort, of course, can take different forms. Time, for example, being willing to commit, being willing to participate in what we might consider extras, not just for ourselves, because we're interested, but for the parish. And being willing to help out when group effort is called for or when someone specifically asks, being willing to say, sure, I'll do what I can. We have a lot of people in this parish, 3,300 parishioners registered at this point. That means probably, I don't know, 3,700. In fact, it's a big parish. I'm continuously edified by how hard certain people work, how generous they are. But I'm also continuously disappointed at how relatively small that group is. We need to be willing to commit and invest ourselves. I would like to call on you more for group efforts. I will be calling on you more for group efforts. It's the only way we're going to move forward. Obviously, our investment in our parish also has to be financial. This is not a fun topic. Probably no topic in the whole world I would rather not talk about, frankly. And yet, without funds, we don't exist. There was a wise old priest who said once, "Give me money and grace, and I will conquer the world for Christ." Obviously, we need grace, but obviously, we have to pay for things as well. We need a church. We have a growing space problem. It's only going to get worse. We have to do something. We can add a mass in the evening. That'll probably be the next step. It's not ideal. We might need to do other interim steps, but bottom line is we need a real church. There are many reasons for that. We can talk about them on another occasion and what we might do. I know that times are hard economically. I understand that. I sympathize very much. But we have to take ownership of our parish. This is our parish. And this is our school. And this is our college. And if we are here, we all must say, this is mine. This is partly mine. This is partly my responsibility. And I am meant to do what I can do. And that's all that's asked. That we take ownership and that we do what we can do. The reality of the matter is that many people are relying on the outside and a relatively few very generous people to keep us afloat, and it's been that way for 30 years. Statistically, about 50 families out of the 712 that we have registered, about 50 families donate half the money, which means that the 650 odd that remain, okay, they take the rest, and some are doing absolutely everything they can, but some are not really doing much of anything at all. In fact, I would say a lot, too many for sure. And I say that because, well, we have a task to accomplish, but I also say that because God will never bless an apathetic or indifferent group. It's only when we give our all that God will take it from there. And he will bless tremendously. And that's what we have to do. So, in this time of Lent, I ask you to reflect on these things and look at both sides again. Exercising restraint and investing. And I will be calling on you very concretely as well. I hate to, in a certain sense. But let's keep the bigger picture in mind. It's not just the money part. It's a question of charity. It's a question of investing in the work of God, the Spirit of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.